There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Kind of a waiting, I think it was like the 11 o'clock hour. The stories were out, you know, that the that President Trump was waiting for, I guess, more word back with the Trump Trump was meeting with the team to decide on the Iran deal. Now, the latest here, this is from the AP. Let's see. Trump says he's still in a meeting with aides to make, because I guess they were, the cable news people were all ready to go live. But I guess they're still in this meeting. They're making a final determination on a deal to extend Iran ceasefire. Now, I will go back to what I said the other day. The ceasefire name only. I don't know. This is a diet ceasefire or whatever, but we'll get back to that. But let you know that's going on right now. We're watching for that. So if the president shows up and starts talking, then we're going to be going to that. And markets are up, Dow's up, S&P's up, NASDAQ's up. Oil is down, trending down, 87.14 right now. So markets are reacting to the news. Let me read a couple texts here, and then we will go back to that story. Let's see, from Matt, he said, Sean, I've seen all these stories this past week about Alabama politicos being upset about dark money, money interest. You know as well as I do, they just don't want to admit the veterans' influence was a huge part. Bottom line, a lot messed it up. Bottom line, a lot messed up, and it came back to bite them. Great segment with the Admiral. Well, thank you, Matt. It should be non-political, right? And when this all got cranked up, and I agreed, I said, the veterans, because veterans got, you know, Democrats, Republicans, independents, I don't votes, everything in between. I'd say usually they vote, though. They come from all political stripes. It shouldn't be about Republican veterans or Democrat veterans. It should just be about veterans. Right? That's the deal. We make, and I go back to that, you know, we make a deal, the people that serve our country in the military. That's why I always talk about VA care and all that. When they sign, they sign away rights, you know, or they sign away their life to serve our country, right? Because conceivably, they could be sent to die for our country. We make a deal on the other side of the ledger, things we're going to do for them. It's contract law. We should do the things we've said as a country, whether you and I signed it or not, we're Americans, the things that we said we would do for them. You live up to it. Problem is, though, politics, right? And the politics of this make it to where, in our state, that they have to engage politically. And it has to be not just... Early on, people were saying, well, they shouldn't have to lobby. I 100% agree they shouldn't have to. But you can shouldn't have to your way right into the mess that the state is in now with our veterans. Because the situation is as it is, you got to. And you got, I believe in having, because all the different groups out there, they'll say, well, so-and-so is the picket. The farmers, the bakers, the candlestick makers endorse candidate, right? They endorse this candidate in this race. They give them a score for whatever their special interest is. Well, how about a score here for, you know, where the veterans? I mean, where, like, their votes, you know, you come in, they have a 95% score from the, you know, veterans lobby, something like that. I think it'd be, for people who don't do like we are, talk about this stuff a great routine. Believe me, I'm friends with normal people that would just need to see something that says, oh, by the way, they got the highest score from the veterans, you know, of Alabama or something like that. Then they say, okay, I know who I'm going to vote for. Let's see, Jason, where is the gap in service and who's responsible for it? Every elected official you have on proclaims their loyalty to the vets. We need names from Admiral Davis. Well, he's given you some of them there, and he pointed out, and he, you know, that's a good thing too. Respectfully, you can say, I mean, in the case of Senator Albritton, he also served, right? He's a veteran, but he, I mean, you heard the Admiral call out specifically. Now, do we know that that's why that incumbency of Greg Albritton, he lost? I don't know, but it's, I think it's a good part of this conversation that maybe not, we haven't had yet, as you look at the number of incumbents around the state. Now, we had a lot of, majority of incumbents, majority of people elected here in South Alabama voted against the changes. But around the state, it wasn't always the same on that. You know, and the, and where he started talking about, you talking about the service and need, that's something that Certificate of Need isn't just about our services to veterans. It's about hospitals and all that stuff in our state. And I know there's, we have these holdovers from days gone by in our state, but if people want to risk capital, like you said, if people want to risk capital and try to do something and make a better mousetrap, why should they have to ask permission to get in to doing that? And it really, it's in a lot of parts of Alabama, business in Alabama, but it's really big in the healthcare side. So I think it's something we need to look at. And I do agree. I think I've said it forever here, that Alabama is a big government Republican state. I mean, the stuff that, there's so much of it driven by social conservatism and not fiscal or right-sized government. All right. Let's see. I don't know. Unnamed texter. In 60 days, Iran will have all the material to build nukes shipped to another radical nation. Even though I support President Trump, America is being played like chumps by Iran. 60 days to do what? Sad, sad. Kind of end like a haiku. C.B. Carl, when the Admiral said, bring it, the first thing I said was like we used to say in the battalion, all I've got left for you is to take, all I got left for you to take is my birthday. Yeah, well, it's just the organization, that was a, it is good to hear the different groups are organizing elsewhere in the state. But when this all went down, there weren't groups like SAVC in other parts of the state. I mean, there were, but they were not active like this. I mean, it was not active. Problem is it takes something like this happening probably to get people to go, okay, we've got to figure out another way to do it. And maybe that's going to come in this next session, you know, when they go gavel in. Will there be, and what will it look like? Pre-file. I imagine they've got to pre-file this. I'd love it to be pre-filed so we can look at it. Some bill to amend 67 or to repeal it, and then a companion bill to do it this way, whatever they lay out, you know, to make it like it was before. So either to amend or repeal and reinstate something like it was before that had worked for, like the Admiral said, 80 years in our state. Yeah, I don't know. So what do you think they're haggling over? I don't know what they're haggling over in the negotiation. I don't have a spy device or a leaker inside the White House to tell me what the actual negotiation is as they're deciding on the Iran deal. I don't know what the Iranians asked, but we're watching it. Like I said, the markets, I guess just a discussion of it, making the markets happy right now. So we'll keep our eyes on it. And yeah, trust me, if the president speaks on this, we will go to that. All right, coming right back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
120, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary on this Friday. And we can talk QR codes. We can talk the inventory those QR codes are on, the website, all that good stuff. What's happening?
Let's talk about a customer I've got. He's wanting to buy a truck, and we're trying to figure out which one he wants.
Okay. But, so this,
that's what we were just doing, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, let's talk about this this anonymous person, this imaginary person. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to get a new truck. They're getting a bigger truck than they have right now. And they're
going from a half ton to a three-quarter ton.
Okay,
we want gas burner. We don't want a white one because of the dirt road.
That's right. So this person lives on dirt. This person we're talking about, the imaginary person, lives on dirt road, doesn't want it in white because, yeah, they live on dirt road. Looking for a three-quarter ton because they got some things they're hauling with it. They need the bigger truck. But they also going to drive this truck every day, too, so looking for some of the creature comforts. So, like, what do you do for that guy?
Well, three-quarter ton gas burner, so you can drive it to work every day, just like you're talking about. Or you can pull the tractor. You're not pulling a tractor every day, you know. But if you decide
that
you want to pull a tractor, it's not just pulling. You know, people think, I have a big truck to pull. It's stopping.
Yep.
If you can't stop it, you're in a world of trouble. That's the biggest deal. And so we want to find you something. You want a color of some sort, you know, not red or green. And we need trailer brakes and all that kind of good stuff. So that's what we're after. And you want to once again stay with a gas burner. So that's what we do out here. We're just trying to find the exact right fit for this feller named Sean and see if we can get him the right truck.
Okay, people can do the same thing as that guy with you if they would just give you a call or come and see you in person. I mean, you've got that TV screen where you can show us like this truck and this truck and this truck.
Yeah, it's a whole lot easier if you're in person because you can actually see the actual vehicle that we're going to be trying to get for you. But if you want to call or put something on the internet, through our website there, we can find you some stuff, email you some stuff, and you'll be able to look at it at home or on your telephone.
Okay. Tell people how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're at the third red light on the left. You give us a call, 251-375-0068, or like I said earlier, just go to that website. It's lcmmotorcars.com.
Good stuff, David. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy. Thanks.
All right. There he goes. You're busy. Back to looking for trucks. All right. 251-343-0106. Let me catch up on some text here, too. Damn Yankee, what happened with the downtown government plaza raising the rent on all the Mobile City and county offices? Maybe I missed it, but I haven't heard. So it would be on the city offices. Of course, the county owns the building. And so the county is the landlord. The city is renting space there. I think they are still in negotiations, Damn Yankee. The way I heard it, and I probably asked a week or two ago, and it was still being negotiated. The idea is maybe the city is going to move some of the city offices out of Government Plaza to other places they have. But, like, the big deal has not been done yet. But remember the story came out about the drop in the insurance. Saw that, right? Let me see if I can give me a second to pull it up. Maybe we'll do it after the next break. Because there's the difference in the quote. There was a $2 million change to the better, to the drop in the rate on insurance at that building when they were asked to take another look at it. So I can pull that up and give you all the numbers. But so that money's come down for the county. So does that bring what they're asking per square there down? That's part of the conversation as well. But nothing has been finalized there, Damn Yankee, that I know of, unless they just did something right now. Norm in West Mobile said, Sean, you signed up for season tickets for the Mystics. Well, you didn't get the big, we were told today that they'll be doing all these announcements coming up. And I don't know. Let's see. This is the story earlier. It said, this is from WKRG. There are only 16 months until puck drop in the Port City. So we did an exclusive interview with the team's owner to find out all the details. And this is from Clancy Callahan at WKRG. And yes, the guy's name is Andy Kaufman. I've gone back and forth on the text line with people. So Andy Kaufman, the CEO of Zoyer Sports and owner of Mobile's hockey team, was tight-lipped when it came to the team's name. Norm said Mystics. I am still a Mystics fan. I mean, there may be some name I hadn't heard of that's great, but The Mystics was a good name. Said, I'm trying really hard not to slip up and say it, so he obviously knows it. They said, well, the name is under tight lock and key. He did break down the list of announcements until puck drop in 2027. So coming up on June 16th, team name and logo reveal. So there we go. It's coming soon. The jersey design coming later this year. Introducing the team's mascot, I guess, comes in 2026 too. Hiring coaches, players in 2027, the puck drop in October. So summer of 2027, they get the coach and the players. And then the puck drop for the first game, 2027 in October. So, oh, the other part of it, too, and the first time I ever heard about this, it was City Councilman Ben Reynolds said it, that they're also working to finalize, build, and open a second skating facility, which is pretty probably smart business. If you got kids skating, they start a hockey league or something like that. That's probably better for business to get people to come out and watch hockey. But, yeah, that they're in this interview, Kaufman said, we're very much committed to making that happen. They said the practice facility would be a building separate from the Regents Arena and would have an ice rink open year-round. So there you go. I don't know if I'm going to get – maybe. I don't know how much they are. So that, like I said, I'd be on twice a year. I'd go to see hockey twice a year. That's about it. Dalton would be down there all the time, but I'd try it probably twice a year. Gene, Trump has done more to harm the VA than any other president in my lifetime, and yet they still vote for him. I don't know how long your lifetime is, Gene. Give me details. So how has Trump done more to harm the VA than any of the other presidents? Please advise. I'm waiting for that. Let's see. Jason said, Sean, do you find the timing of Mr. Holyfield's story from the Sheriff's Department interesting? Was this held till after the election? I have no idea. I don't, like, the story you're talking about, the one, you know, that hit today, and I got an email, I guess, earlier today, district attorney's office talking about this, and then it's made it to WKRG and everywhere else. So the former Mobile County Sheriff's Office sergeant, and you just heard this on the news, but we'll repeat, has now been indicted on more charges, according to the Mobile County District Attorney's Office. According to a news release from District Attorney Keith Blackwood, a Mobile grand jury indicted Daniel Holyfield on 3 counts of first-degree theft of property by deception. This is, Holyfield was indicted in August of 2025 on 13 counts of theft of property and possession of forged instruments after he allegedly used official MCSO lettering and forged the signatures of 3 co-workers to purchase 10 cars. D.A. Blackwood said, when someone's entrusted with serving the public, they're expected to uphold the law and act with integrity. These allegations represent a serious breach of that trust. Our office will continue to pursue these cases wherever the evidence leads and seek accountability for any criminal conduct uncovered. End quote. Holyfield is supposed to be in court for arraignment in the coming weeks. So, I don't know. Timeline-wise, Jason, I don't know. Michael, so this is a conversation. Michael sent me a picture of his. He says he's got the 6.7. The 6.7, I'm scared of the 10-speed. So the 6.7 is without that 10-speed transmission, right? Yeah, 6.7. He said, though it drinks the diesel, plus King Ranch package has all the comfort you'd want. I've long coveted the King Ranches. I don't think anything other than cloth seats. I don't think I've ever had a truck that, make sure I'm right. Yeah, I don't think I ever had one with anything but cloth seats. So all that saddle leather and stuff would be nice. We'll see. Let's see. We got something from Fire Dog here. So they rejected the 106.5 Talkers as the name of the team. Or do we not know that yet? We don't know that yet. It could be the name of the hockey team. We're not sure. I think Unnamed Texters should be the hockey team.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Like that one 1035, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. This is talking to my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry about those gold backs. You got some more of those in stock?
Yes, sir. They released Oklahoma recently, so those are the ones we have in. And it's basically, they are a thin sheet of gold, and it's a partial piece of gold of a troyth ounce. So it's like varies 1/20th, 1/500th, 1/1,000th, 1/2,000th of a troy ounce of gold. And they feature like a different, almost like an art, like a painting type of ordeal to me, but it's differently themed depending on which state it's from.
Okay. And those are in certain places you can, I think we were talking about some in Florida or something like that, where you could put them in the machine, would read the gold in it or something to that effect?
Yes. So you can fit it into a machine, and it will actually calculate how much it's worth in gold value today, if, you know, converted to U.S. dollars, basically, value.
Okay. And that might be a good gift for Dad, but other ideas? Because I guess as of Sunday, 3 weeks out from Father's Day.
Yeah. I mean, we have the Collegiate watches, we have the other brand name watches, we have jewelry, be it a, you know, Figaro chain, a man's bracelet, silver bracelets. We've got different types of coins available, like, you know, for deer hunting or fishing, you know, things that dads would like. Opinel knives, let's not forget that, or the grill sets, the Opinel grill sets.
All right, and I got to ask you, how, gold and silver, how are we doing on this Friday? What's going on?
It is up a little bit today from where it was, so it is a good time to come in and sell some scrap gold, or, you know, it's not a bad time to buy, too, because it's still down and relatively come to where it was.
Absolutely. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can also find us on Facebook or our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or they can call the shop. Phone number is 251-725-1590 and speak to me directly.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
You're welcome.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, so let's see. Oh, on the a couple other, read this one on the hockey team. Gary says, oh, gosh, I should contact Washington Post for Mobile Hockey Team League. Really tight-lipped in Mobile. Give me a break. It's the marketing, Gary, right? So we'll find out, you know, next month. I think the 16th, we'll find out the name of the team. It's them making hype. If I was running that place, I'd do the same thing. Daniel in Foley said, I am a veteran, so thank you, Daniel. Please explain to me how my VA benefits have changed. I promise I would be the first to know. No, VA benefits hadn't changed that I know of. It's the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, right, that they removed Admiral Kent Davis. SB 67 changed. First thing, the one that I glommed onto the most, and I remember Governor Ivey with her State of the State address saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm pretty darn close, I need a head of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, ADVA, that's a team player with the governor's office. A team player with the governor's office. You know what I would like? The head of the ADVA to be a team player for the veterans, not the executive branch. So that was one of the changes they made in there, right? They took, instead of it being its own thing, Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, they elevated the head to a cabinet-level agency that works for the governor, whatever governor going forward. So they're same problem I have with the PSC change bill, right? I want those entities to not have an executive branch hand in them. I want them to be, not that they can't be people nominated on there, all that, but I don't want them to have the head of those groups reporting to the governor, whomever it is. So that was one of the things that, you know, the governor can now, without any other, it's at will, not at will, what's the dang term? It's a term where executive branch, you work, you can be fired for whatever. So now the head of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs is directly under the governor. The governor can fire them at will. That's one of the big changes there. I did not like that at all. So not your VA benefits, but what happened to the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs? Also, they changed the kind of the idea behind the state board was a policymaking group for veterans in the state to hear the veterans and talk about policies and what would into an advisory committee. So now you have the governor, the head of it now is part of the governor's cabinet. I think I can probably say it's a under the executive branch. And they work at the will or the pleasure, there you go, of the executive branch. So they can change if something is one way that the veterans want, but the executive branch doesn't like it, they could do that. They also are hamstrung where they're an advisory board now, not policymaking. And I don't think it's good. So, no, I don't think your benefits have changed, but the structure out there, the way it serves. I default to y'all who served. I did not. But I just know, and it's anecdotal, but in my friend group, which has more than a couple veterans in the mix, to the last one of them, they did not like that change. And as a citizen, I don't like the idea of these different groups. And I bring in the PSC on this. I don't like these groups now having the head, de facto or otherwise, in reality, the head, not in a de facto way, being part of the executive branch. Because when you have something, you have the power centralized like that, not spread out, you can exert influence more. Like if you have a board where you have a bunch of people, you'd have to get their minds changed on something. That's one thing. If you just have to get to one person and they can direct what ADVA does, I don't think that's good. Yeah, I don't know. Did you just say 6.7? Okay, 6.7. The kids go wild. I think that's probably not the fact that we're sitting here talking about it, and I've been talking about it for months. They're probably on to something else. 6.7 is not the. It's now something else. Thank you. Getting some. Todd's talking about the diesel. Beware that. Yeah, I'm thinking about a gas burner. We'll see. Michael, who has that diesel 6.7, by the way. By the way, Michael, Todd says beware of the CP4 pump on the diesel. So, little car show I'm doing here. Michael goes on to say, will they ever admit the governor took over the VA because of her buddies at Alta Point? It's I think, a little one step in between of her buddy who had that. But that's, you know, that's, it's all going to come out in court. You know, the admiral has a lawsuit, and because of that, there's going to be discovery. The federal judge is looking at dismissing the, you know, they moved, the governor's office moved to have it dismissed. Now, a federal judge is looking at that move. This case has not been dismissed. It's in the hands of the federal judge to find out, but we'll keep an eye on it. If it goes to court, there's probably going to be a lot of answers to questions we've been asking around here for a long time. So it'd be a good thing for us to go to court. And then there's this. I don't know. Sometimes I go, if they could just stop Trump, the president's like 80% of what he's saying and then be like, okay, all right, stop. The Treasury Department now, you know, Bessent had that press conference earlier. The Treasury for Trump is pushing a new, as we got rid of pennies, but bringing in some new paper currency, a $250 bill. Right, because $250 bill with President Trump's face on it. Even though, like, the rules are, you can't have you can't have a living person on any U.S. tender. So yesterday, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said his department has been working to create a $250 bill bearing President Donald Trump's portrait. He showed off a mock-up ordered by the U.S. Treasurer Brandon Beach. It says here in the story, under an 1866 law, no living person can be on U.S. currency. Bessent said that during a press conference. He said, we will stick to the law, but have prepared in advance in case Congress passes a proposed legislation that would authorize this banknote. Hey. We'll see what happens. The Trump 250 bill. Hey. All right, coming back. It's time for a checkup right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile and time for a checkup on FM Talk 106.5. And good to see you from Southern Cancer Center, Michelle Sanford, back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're a nurse practitioner.
Right.
Okay. And I know, because I look at your name and you've got, you know, letters behind your name that I know mean something, but I don't know what they. So nurse practitioner. Give me, from a nurse to a nurse practitioner, what's the difference? How do we understand that?
We are a mid-level provider. So we were registered nurses first, and then we have an additional 2 to 3 year degree that makes us a mid-level provider in between a nurse and a physician. So our role is to see patients. One of our main roles at Southern Cancer Center is to do chemotherapy education. When a patient comes in and first gets their treatment plan, we see them before and after chemotherapy to monitor for side effects and to improve their quality of life. And another one of our roles is advanced care planning. After we discuss their treatment plan with them, then we want to get to know them better and see what their priorities and values are so that we can make sure that our plan of care is not interfering with their life.
Okay, yeah, it sounds good. You say advanced care planning. Mm-hmm. It sounds good, but then how it really is applied. I guess that's my question.
It's two different parts. So advanced care planning, we do it in one visit because it's a lot of information, at least the way we do it at our clinic. So the two parts are, one, looking at the patient's values. And we do this at our clinic in the setting of patients that are metastatic. So they have an incurable disease, but advanced care planning can really be for anybody. They don't even have to be sick because what it entails is what would you want if you were to become ill? And the best way to think about that, very ill, terminally ill, the best time to think about that is before it happens, because you never know when something bad's going to happen to you. And if you have a plan in place, at least your family knows what your wishes are. And that takes the stressors of having to decide that at the last minute if something were to happen to you tragically. The other part of advanced care planning that we do, I don't know if every other clinic entails this, but we also look at the patient's values. When you're undergoing treatment and you're in the metastatic setting, or even if you're not in the metastatic setting, what's important to you? Is it your family? Is it trying? Would you rather spend more time with your family rather than in treatment? Or is your main priority to aim for a cure, even if it's not considered possible? Do you want the maximum amount of treatment, even if it makes you feel bad? Or are you somewhere in the middle? We also look at, do you have any life events coming up that you want to make sure your treatment does not interfere with? Weddings, graduations, that type of thing, so we can plan for that. Do you want your pain treated to the utmost extent, even if it may make you tired or sleepy, unable to interact as well with your family? Or do you not want pain medicines unless absolutely necessary, so you don't have those side effects? How do you feel if it was towards the end of life about tube feedings? So we know about all these things. So it just kind of looks at the big picture of how do we want our care to be in the future? And it involves the patient, and that's the way it should be for everybody everywhere. But I feel like patients are really resistant to discussing those serious issues.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I'm just talking with you on the radio. It made me uncomfortable in this. It's fair, because these are important questions.
Yes.
And to think about your role, not just as a healthcare provider, mm-hmm. and what your all the letters behind your name there, mm-hmm. for that, you're in the social world here too. Mm-hmm. It's not just the medicine and science. You're having to navigate stuff that's the heart.
Right. People's emotions. And
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, do people go, when you you were giving me a very brief overview of the questions. Right. Do people go, I got to get back with you on that, Michelle. Yeah, I don't have an answer for you yet.
Exactly. So what I do, how we approach it at Southern Cancer Center, is we have a whole packet of information on advanced care planning. And so that packet has a form that they can fill out and take home to their family. And one part of the form looks at the values, like what is important to you? What do you want to make sure that we don't interfere with? Like, for example, I don't want you interfering with my ability to have time with my family. I don't want to be so tired that I can't, you know, have weekend dinners. Mm-hmm. There's a whole form that looks at that aspect.
But you're also there from the medical side to be able to say, mm-hmm. this is what the other side of that is, right? This equation, if you want more mm-hmm. of this, then, right. then here's the...
If you want aggressive treatment, you know, mm-hmm. let us know about that too. And then the other part of the package, so there's that form that they can take out home and there's space for them to write in it. And the other part of the package is actually a legal document, and it's a living will. And that tells, it's a legal document. It tells what you would like if you were terminally ill. This isn't if you end up in the hospital with pneumonia.
Right.
But if there is a situation, and like I said, it doesn't have to be somebody with cancer. It can be you or I, and we get in a very bad car accident.
Right.
And we're in the ICU, and the doctors have decided that there's no hope that we're going to live a productive life. We may be on a ventilator for the rest of our life, or have a stroke and we may not be able to walk again. In that setting, or maybe not even able to talk again, in that setting, would you want to be on a ventilator? Would you want CPR? Would you want tube feedings? And there's a form that you can fill out, and that's a legal document. And all you have to do is fill it out, sign it, have I think it's two witnesses sign it, and it's a legal document in Alabama. So we give all that information to them to take home and encourage them to discuss it with their families and bring it back to us at the next visit. But again, it's something that everybody should consider so that their family doesn't have to go through the stress of deciding that for them if anything emergent happens.
This has been an eye-opener for me because, well, I know what y'all do. Well, I see the results of what you do at Southern Cancer Center, helping people fight cancer. I didn't ever think about this, but I thought this was an adjunct or something from a separate world. Mm-hmm. But y'all have integrated that. Yeah, I mean, I know y'all do holistic. Right. You've integrated that at Southern Cancer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If people want to get more information on this or things they need to think about here as they digest this, give them any closing thoughts on that?
Can actually Google Alabama, legal Alabama living will, and there is a document that you can just fill out at home like I discussed. And it just you sign it and two witnesses sign it, and it's a legal document. And you can even put things on there. You can get creative because it has places to write. So you can put on there, I actually put this on mine. If there is a chance of a miracle happening, I want to be on a ventilator for 2 weeks and then my family can decide to take me off. You know, but it gives you some time
right.
for that miracle to happen because some people do want that in their life.
Yeah.
So there's
I'm raising my hand.
Get creative about. I'm willing to take two feedings if there's a small chance of recovery. So you mm-hmm. can actually write your wishes in there, because what we don't want to happen is people become, and it can be again anybody, critically ill and they have no plan, nobody knows their wishes. And even if somebody knows their wishes, they a lot of times the family overrides it, and it creates a lot of arguments and stress in the family mm-hmm. instead of following what the patient may have really wanted. So you know, I do this all the time, so I think about it, what would I want? And at the end of my life, I'd want to be with my family and my children, and that would be my number one priority if I had no hope. You know, I'd want them in the room right. with me sometimes. If you are at the end of life and that you don't have a living will, you're going to be intubated. You're going to end up in the ICU and you're going to have 2 hours of visitors a day on machines by yourself. And it's going to be scary and your quality of life isn't going to be very good. You know, you're going to, it's a scary situation. And
that's some real talk.
You don't
about
want
that.
Somebody deciding that choice for you. You know, it's.
So you're saying, yeah, get over yourself. I'm maybe talking to myself that you right. don't want to deal with this document because you're telling us here's what it looks like
it.
On the other end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you don't want to think about it now.
You don't want that burden on your family because your family is probably going to go, oh, we need to keep them alive as long as possible. But truthfully, if you think about it, being kept alive as long as possible artificially is not the best answer for a lot of people. It's not always a humane answer.
But you get to make your own decision now.
You get to make your own decision while you have the ability to. And you can, again, write details in there if it's, like I said, if there's a chance of a miracle, I want to be kept on a ventilator for 5 days just to see what happens. You know, you can do those types of things.
It's so something. It's a lot to think about, but it's great to have somebody like you that's done it and knows how to guide folks out there. If they want to talk more about this or mm-hmm. anything else at Southern Cancer Center, they just reach out to you directly, Michelle?
All of our patients have the option to do this. Now, we do, we would like to do this for every patient that has metastatic disease, just because most of those patients, not all, but most of those patients don't have a curable situation.
Right.
So when they convert over to being metastatic, or if they're diagnosed with that originally, it is something we want to discuss up front, like within the first couple of visits, or if somebody has a change, we want to discuss it. But any of our patients can make that appointment at any time, just saying they want an advanced care plan visit, and they can get that appointment in a couple of days.
Okay, so just check out Southern Cancer Center online, get the phone number there, or, and reach out to Michelle or anybody else there. But Michelle, thanks for coming in today, and thanks for, this is heavy stuff, but it's important stuff.
Yeah.
Michelle Sanford, Southern Cancer Center. Thanks.
Thank you.